9 o'clock, Jim of the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Winery. We're also asking you today of the available jobs right now where coaches have been fired and they're interviewing. Give us your top three best jobs. I think regardless of ranking, the Broncos are going to be in the top three. I think you and I both agree that the Vikings, Dolphins are in that top three as well. Giants, they'll be looking for a new coach. Joe Judge fired after year two, canned yesterday. So Dave Gettleman, the guy that hired him, he, quote, retired. That was expected, though. Gettleman was talking about retirement and got out. And just as he got out, the guy that he hired is also looking for employment.
Hey, Dave, take Joe Judge with you.
Yeah. Maybe he could be his gardener. Maybe he could be his handyman gardener. I don't know. Look, Joe Judge is a really good special teams coach when he's with the Patriots. He's going to get a job somewhere as a special teams coach again. But
Broncos are going to need a special teams coach.
Well, Joe Judge in Denver as a special teams coach? Sure, why not? All right, so text or call us today, 970-242-1340. It's also Wednesday. And if there's something you want to complain about, we'll get to the text line here in a few minutes. Send it to us today, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
Well, why don't you cry about it?
All right, it is time to talk CSU Rams basketball with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
Talking CSU with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth, on the Jim Davis Show.
With us right now, had the call on Saturday's game with CSU and San Diego State. Brian Roth joins us. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jim. What's going on?
How much? Boy, we're so excited how the way this Rams team has been playing. They get San Diego State. And, boy, it was not a good game for the Rams on Saturday. They lose their first one of the season, 79-49, where the Aztecs just put a blanket on the Rams, held them to 28% shooting and just 15% from three-point range in that game.
Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't the game. It was the half. I mean, you know, the first half was back and forth, and, you know, it was a 36-32 game, and I thought an evenly played first half, exactly what you were kind of expecting going to that game. I mean, you know, Rams were underdogs going into Viejas, the hardest place in the conference to play. It's a really good San Diego State team. Again, I mean, you think 2 years ago they were a top-five team nationally. Last year, defending conference champs, won the conference tournament, made yet another trip to the NCAA tournament, brought in the most heralded transfer in the offseason, Matt Bradley from Cal, where he was an all-Pac-12 guard. And so, you know, it doesn't mean San Diego State's really good. And, you know, the game played out the way we expected it to play out in the first half, and then the second half hit. And, man, I mean, the wheels just completely came off of that. And, you know, the 30-point deficit, I mean, look, San Diego State in the final 4 minutes of the game closed out the game at a 14-0 run. I mean, so, you know, that was more of a 12-15-point game the second half. And then teams started to sub in some of their bench players, and then it just ballooned up to 30. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people just see the final score and say, whoa, Rams, you know, got beat by 30, which they did. I mean, let's call it what it is. But at the same time, I don't think that's really indicative of you know, 30. There's not a 30-point differential between these two teams. And I think Colorado State will bounce back. And, you know, I think CSU is going to be really looking forward to getting San Diego State in Fort Collins coming up on February 4th. So it's a loss. You knew you were going to take some. I don't think any of us expected Colorado State to go undefeated. There'll be a lot of teams that lose at Viejas Arena, and you kind of have to go back to the drawing board, get better because of it, and move on.
Brian Roth joining us on the Jim Davis Show. Isaiah Stevens, 19. David Roddy, 17. 13 from everybody not named those two guys. Is there any particular reason that it seemed nobody else could hit a shot from the field?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's got to change. That can't happen, you know, especially when you go on the road. And, you know, the old adage is, look, at home, your role players usually are really good. Your stars are going to be good at home. Your stars usually are going to be good on the road, right? I mean, it doesn't matter the level. It doesn't matter the NBA, if it's high school. I mean, your stars usually are going to show up night in and night out. But, you know, one of the big home court advantage is that usually those role players are better at home than they are on the road, right? And we saw that with the role players for San Diego State. They're hitting threes, and you know, they were bringing a lot of energy. And it's just, it's harder for role players on the road. And the role players didn't step up for Colorado State. I mean, plain and simple. I mean, Stevens, Roddy, they were good. Nobody else was able to kick in and help out in the scoring load. So that was a big-time problem on Saturday. And you'll credit the Aztecs for that. But you've got to get more help when you go on the road. It just can't be the Isaiah Stevens and David Roddy show. And, you know, I think Colorado State will be better moving forward with their bench and their role players in road games as we get further in the season.
Brian Roth, voice of CSU Rams, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So for the Rams, it's Utah State tonight. And look at the standings right now in the Mountain West. San Diego State in first place. The Rams at 1-1, currently in fourth. Utah State, they sit at 1-1 in conference play, 10-5 on the season. And for them, they've had Justin Bean that's had a pretty good season for them so far. Take us through this Utah State Aggies team that the Rams square off against tonight.
Well, it's the Utah State and CSU team that kind of have a little bit of a rivalry brewing over the last couple of years. And you think the last year, you know, these two teams met in the semifinals of the Mountain West Conference Tournament in March down in Vegas. And, you know, we had discussed this on your show last year, but that was essentially a de facto play-in game for the NCAA tournament. You figure the winner of that in the semifinals that was going to advance onto the finals in the Mountain West Championships was probably going to be in, and the loser was probably going to be on the outside looking in because both CSU and Utah State were right on that NCAA bubble line last season, and Utah State won it. They won two of the three games last year, and so you know, there's been a bit of a rivalry developing between these two programs, but Utah State's really good. Of course, their head coach, Craig Smith, the last 3 years, he took the Utah job, and so they bring in Ryan Odom, the head basketball coach, who had spent the previous five seasons at University of Maryland, Baltimore County, UMBC, and of course, nobody had heard of UMBC until 2018, when they were number 16 seed, and they knocked off the number one seed, Virginia. The only time, of course, that's ever happened. So Ryan Odom spent 5 years there, and now is at Utah State. And you know, he's got pretty good pedigree. His father is Dave Odom, the longtime coach at Wake Forest with, you know, Tim Duncan and those Chris Paul teams. So yeah, listen, Utah State's good, and they're 10-5. They're going to be right there in the mix when it comes, you know, down to the end of this conference season. Then you brought up Justin Bean. Justin Bean is, I think you can make an argument, is the front runner, the Mountain West Conference Player of the Year. Now, look, there's a ton of hoops still yet to go, but Justin Bean leads the conference in scoring and rebounding at 20-10. And so he's going to be a major handful for Colorado State tonight.
6 o'clock tip for that one at Movie Arena. Colorado State takes on Utah State in the hardwood. Brian Roth, voice of CSU Rams, joins us every Wednesday on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I want to flip it over to Jay Norvell and the CSU football team, because Jay is starting to round out his coaching staff, and we do know that a guy that was with him at Nevada, associate head coach, quarterbacks coach, Matt Mummy, who is the son of air raid legend Hal Mummy, who was Nevada's offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach when Jay was a coach there, that he'll have that same role with the Rams as they get ready to start the season.
Yeah, and that was that was known really immediately. Now it hasn't become official until this past week. But you know, Jay Norvell essentially brought his entire offensive staff with him to Colorado State, and you talked about that air raid offense. I mean, that's what Nevada has run the last 5 years. That, you know, with Jay Norvell ran at Nevada, and he brought it over here, and Mummy was going to come with him, and that entire offensive staff is coming with him. So, you know, for the fans that followed the Mountain West Conference over the last few years, and you saw the Nevada offense, that's the exact identical offense you're going to see here at Colorado State coming up this year. So, you know, I mean, that wasn't a surprise to see Jay, who, of course, is an offensive coach. Jay's going to call all the plays from the head coaching position, even though Matt Mummy will be the offensive coordinator. You know, Jay Norvell really is almost the de facto offensive coordinator right there with Matt Mummy. So, I'm excited for it. You know, spring football is going to be coming up here in another couple months, and yeah, I mean, there's a lot of optimism around Fort Collins with CSU football.
Yeah, and I like the tweet that Matt Mummy put out. Time to light up the scoreboards, Fort Air Raid. I kind of like the Fort Air Raid sound. That's gonna be fun.
Yeah,
that's a nice little nickname for the Rams offense. Hopefully, it'll live up to that.
Yeah, right. I mean, so he's you know, obviously the Air Raid offense, and yeah, that's kind of caught on with social media with among his Rams fans. You know, everybody saw that and said Fort Air Raid. Wow, that sounds really good. If we're gonna be lighting up the scoreboard and putting up 30, 40 points a game, Fort Air Raid. So. You know, the one thing that you kind of like with this coaching staff, at least early on, and again, they haven't played a game. They haven't lost yet. Everything's, you know, roses, rainbows.
Everybody loves them right now. They're darlings right now.
That's right. So that's always good when, you know, you haven't ever lost a game in your coaching tenure at CSU. But the coaching staff has come in and really tried to engage with fans on social media. And they've really done a nice job kind of trying to get into the community of Fort Collins. Obviously, they're busy trying to fill out the recruiting class with signing day looming here in a few weeks on February 2nd. But, you know, this staff has done a nice job of really initially, at least through social media, engaging with the fan base at Colorado State.
CSU play-by-play voice Brian Roth with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. One other name I want to talk to you about, if you followed Mountain West football, and particularly if you're a Hawaii football fan, Timmy Chang, who is the receivers coach at Nevada the last couple of seasons, former outstanding quarterback at the University of Hawaii, he'll be the receivers coach at Colorado State.
Yep, and you know, you remember Timmy Chang there at Hawaii, and of course, you know, they threw the ball all over the yard when they were at Hawaii, and so he is. It just kind of seems that he fits. Right, I mean, you get a guy like that played in a run and shoot type offense at Hawaii, and obviously put up a ton of numbers. And of course, Hawaii had some really, really good teams back then. But you know, it just fits with what Jay Norvell and this offensive staff want to do. And so, you know, saw Timmy out at a CSU basketball game last week, so got a chance to say hi to him for the first time. And yeah, just looking forward to working with all these guys. It's been a breath of fresh air with some of these staff members that Colorado State has brought on board.
Well, Brian, best of luck tonight to the Rams, and have a great call tonight when CSU takes on Utah State. Always appreciate it.
Yep, indeed. It's a huge one for the Rams and a big opportunity to bounce back after that embarrassing loss on Saturday. Should be fun.
All right, Jim. Okay, one final thing before you go.
Yep.
As we've talked about many times, you're a diehard Broncos fan like myself. Who do you want to see them hire as the head coach?
You know what? I have seen so many names that have been thrown out there that it's just been information overload, Jim, and I've just been like, you know, wake me up when they got the finalists. Like, I'm not, it's almost like, I'm not a big recruiting guy either in terms of, like, trying to break down recruiting classes, because you just don't know, and it's just, it kind of has that same feeling of, like, I'm not going to start going and doing all my own research on these guys.
Yeah.
Like, let's let it flesh itself out. Let's see who some of the finalists are, and then kind of start drilling down deep. But I mean, the amount of names that just keep getting thrown out there via social media, it's almost overwhelming. It's like, does anybody know? I saw a list of, like, here's 12 potential candidates, and it's like, I'm not going to start going through the 12 potential candidates here. So I'm going to wait and see approach before I start kind of digging into that info.
And you've got game prep.
To be honest with you, Jim, to be honest with you, I need a break from Broncos talk.
I understand.
I think, you know, the season's over. Let me just kind of put the blinders on, and I don't need to relive any more Broncos stuff for just at least a little bit. Give me a break, because this was another fun year for us Bronco fans. It's been a blast.
And that's perfect for Wine About It Wednesday. You know,
why don't you cry about it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's perfect. You're tired of the Broncos. You need a break. You need a little space from your Broncos fandom for a little while. I totally understand that.
I will say this. I have a group text chain of about 10 to 12 high school buddies that we have, and everybody was rejoicing over the fact that, like, Vic Fangio got fired. And I'm no Vic Fangio fan, and I'm fine with the change, but, you know, my point to my group, I just texted back, I said it won't mean a damn thing if they can't figure out the quarterback position.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter who your head coach is.
No. Couldn't be more correct about that.
Well, we'll get back to your day gig real quick. Some late breaking news. Brock Miller not playing tonight for Utah State.
Yeah, he didn't play the other night, and Brock Miller is a kid, for folks that aren't out, that, you know, don't follow Utah State, is a shooting guard, 6'5", and always kills the Rams. He's one of the best shooters in the Mountain West Conference, and I swear to God, every time he plays the Rams, he has 4 or 5 threes and has just killed Colorado State over the years. So I saw that he did not play against New Mexico on Saturday, guys, but I had not seen that he is not to be in the lineup tonight. So that's a big loss for Utah State, because he's a really, really good outside scoring threat.
Bucky, I know you're glad to help him with his game prep.
Yeah, anything I can do to
help. Appreciate that. I had no idea.
Hey, Brian, have a great call tonight. Thanks, as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good, guys. We'll see you.
Brian Roth, voice of CSU Rams.
See, maybe give him a 5-minute jump start, because you end the phone call, you go, you know, get another cup of coffee or some water or tea or whatever, maybe use the bathroom, check in on the ruffians, and then get back to game prep. Maybe giving him a 5-minute head start.
Exactly. Give him a little
doing
jump
what
start.
I can.
Exactly. It's nice of you to help.
For the administrator of
something
the
something that
arts.
You don't usually do. Nice of you doing something
that's
helpful.
It's just usually
helpful.
You, though. I mean, I help out a lot of people. I just usually don't help out you very much.
You don't talk to the people I talk to, apparently. All right. On the teams that you feel like, if you're a coaching candidate, would be the best place to go to for a quick turnaround, mm-hmm. the available NFL coaching openings right now. Jared on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line, which is 970-242-1340. I'd say Jags, just because of the possibility of a franchise quarterback. Got Trevor Lawrence. You're going to have the number one pick.
Yeah.
Again, to find a piece to go along with him. From Robert, bottom line is Fangio's not head coach material. Could be the case.
Maybe.
Could be. Let's see. Got one from Taylor. Not to mention Fangio learning to leave the challenge flag tucked in his belt. And some of that, you have to wonder, was that just bad intel from the guys upstairs? Hey, Vic, challenge this.
But Vic has final say on whether he should or not. I mean, we can lay out various reasons why Vic may not be to blame for some things, but...
But then there's things that... There are enough reasons for him to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be honest about
absolutely.
That. Not all of it was, you know, under his control, mm-hmm. but there were enough things that were that led to that.
You know, he can guide his guys. Hey, you need to get better at what we can review and what we can't, and they never seem to. If that was the case, his loyalty. This is another loyalty thing that is ultimately him and part of his downfall.
So you got one from Dom. Good morning, gentlemen. We are all slowly dying as we age. Thanks. But on a more serious note, I believe if Kirk Cousins doesn't get sent adrift in a long ship, it goes Vikings first, Bears second, Dolphins third. Also, if you look, and the Vikings and Bears will let you have time to get your feet under you, Dolphins are on an upswing.
Damn, Don, working
Jeez,
dark this
dark.
Morning. Wow.
We're all slowly dying as we age. Thanks, Dom.
The start of a black metal song.
Wow.
Jeepers.
Gee, many Christmas. Jake this morning. What about a Wednesday when someone doesn't replace the toilet paper roll? This someone may or may not be my wife. Oh, so it's not you.
Uh-oh.
It's the missus. Oh. You just fire back with the leave the toilet seat up situation there, Jake.
Yeah, how do you think that's going to work out, though?
See, it's easy for him to whine to us.
Yes.
There are no repercussions here. Actually, he could get a bottle of wine. It's all positive for him.
If Mrs. Jake listens to the show, then we might have a problem.
We might have a problem.
But not we, as in you and I.
Yeah, it would be Jake. I would think the top three jobs are Vikings, Dolphins, and Broncos. I like a young offensive coach, but I'm warming to the idea of Flores in Denver. He's a good coach who didn't deserve to be fired. And if Watson wanted to go to Miami, maybe he'd come to Denver if Flores is hired by the Broncos. Once again, we always have to say this, though. There's a lot of things that have to be resolved with Sean Watson.
That's a public image nightmare.
And while the talent is undeniable, the things that he's dealing with legally right now, both mm-hmm. civil and criminal, make him very problematic.
Yeah. He's not radioactive. He's close.
Particularly if some of these things stick criminally.
Yeah. He can settle them all civilly, but and then if they come with charges.
Civil case stuff, it eventually goes away, right? It evaporates.
Yeah.
I mean, criminal case, there's fines, there's jail time, there are things that are associated with that, most notably jail time.
Mm-hmm.
Probation, things that's tough. Look, a civil case is still hard to wash away in terms of public perception, but it's far easier than the image of you behind bars wearing an orange jumpsuit.
Right. And even the civil stuff is still, you know, in public image-wise, it's kind of an admission of guilt, right? But a conviction is definite. And that's not, it's not something I think you can get around.
Phil, not sure I would say the offensive line has regressed as Williams and Gordon are second running back duo in Broncos history to rush for over 900 yards since Anderson and Bell did it in 2005. The O-line made the holes, but they also have not been very good in pass protection. Yeah, the run blocking's been fine.
Mm-hmm.
But as an offensive lineman, you have two jobs, Phil. Got to run block, got to pass protect.
Yeah.
And that was not, that has not gotten better. So the offensive line maybe in one area has improved and gotten better. It's regressed, though, as an offense, as a pass blocking unit.
As a whole, they're not as good as they were last year.
Offensive line only had 21 penalties as a whole, and Bowles had only 3 holding calls. Offensive line also had quite a few injuries, too. They've had injuries to deal with, but the pass protection, look, this is a passing league. And as great as those numbers are for the Broncos run game, got to pass protect.
And just because they didn't have a lot of penalties, that doesn't then make them stout. It just means they weren't cheating, you know. So, I don't know. I don't know what to take from they didn't have as many penalties, or these guys didn't, you know, they had better rushing numbers and whatever. Eye test, they failed a lot.
And Garrett Bowles regressed
mm-hmm.
from what he did last year. Was that they didn't call as many holding penalties?
Or he wasn't holding as much, hence running after the defender, chasing right. his quarterback?
You make some valid points, Phil. We're not poo-pooing that. I just think as a unit from a pass protection standpoint, they took steps backward.
Right, and it's like it's Pro Football Focus grade, but that's him on his own on an island. Him working with the other players and going against certain types of defenders, not great for Garrett Bowles.
See from Rob, Wine is didn't hear Alabama fans' excuses, no injuries, etc. Ha ha.
You just weren't looking hard enough. That's all.
Dylan, people at the grocery store that parked their carts in the middle of the aisle, Avs got jobbed. I agree with you on both. All right, 9:23, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk with Trevor Baskin, who had a sensational game, career-best 33 points against Black Hill State this past Sunday. We'll have that conversation coming up in a little bit. Also, this day in sports history. So, still time to get your wine in today to win a bottle of Talon wine. Also, I think we have a Junction Square Anapasta salad, a small Anapasta salad from Junction Square at 7th and Main. So, text in today, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team.
.927, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. See, we got Steve. When you throw in the Colts money line bet to your 5-leg parlay that went 4-for-5. That's a legitimate wine, Steve. Colts letting you down, man.
You have a gambling problem.
Steve this morning. People that ask, who, me, are engaging in one-on-one discussion for many minutes. Also reports say Flores was hated by ownership, management, and the players. That's why we had the story earlier that Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk put out there that Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, wasn't very happy that Flores didn't do more for his team to make his team lose to get Joe Burrow. And then they didn't get Deshaun Watson. And so those were things that upset Stephen Ross. And so that's why they parted company with Brian Flores. And I've also read a few things too that you're referencing, Steve, that Brian Flores and some of the players didn't exactly click in Miami. But still,
I've heard he's a lot of Bill O'Brien type, is what I've been seeing attached to him.
Which I can't say is good, because Bill O'Brien, which I'm a little surprised the Jags are interested in him, but I guess if you're Bill O'Brien, don't let him be the general manager, right? They got Trent Baalke there, which a lot of people would probably in Jacksonville rather have Bill O'Brien be the GM than Trent Baalke. But that was part of the problem with him in Houston. The now infamous, trading DeAndre Hopkins to the Cardinals for David Johnson, and how that turned out, which led to him being shown the door by Cam McNair.
Did 4 playoff appearances in 6 years, though.
There were some good things for Bill O'Brien. But how much of his reputation is damaged by the job he did as their general manager?
Right.
Do you cling to that like the Dan Quinn, well, they blew the lead in the Super Bowl and Dan Quinn's an incompetent coach because they couldn't beat the Patriots?
I know Bill O'Brien is on lists, and that's been brought up, and it's apparently, according to reports, Rappaport, Breer, the usual guys, that Bill O'Brien's not going to take a role in personnel decisions his next time around.
Yeah. Because they, like, for example, most of these places, well, every place he's going to interview with potentially has a GM, or they're going to hire a GM, and it's not going to be Bill O'Brien. So he was the Alabama offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So that seems to like be a really good place to go to rehab your career, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're Lane Kiffin,
Sark.
And now Bill O'Brien, it seems like it's a really good place. Go there, see what Alabama does, see how they go out and win football games, and you'll be there, part of obviously an explosive offense. You're always going to have the players to make that happen.
Look great against the Vanderbilts and the Arkansas's and the Mercers, the Murray States that you got on your schedule.
Directional Georgia.
Yep. Can't win over actual Georgia when it counts,
but directional Georgia
got Southern Georgia Technical College.
Usually works out pretty well. All right, Trevor Baskin of the Colorado Mesa men's basketball team will join us in just a few minutes. Let's get to this day in sports history. And on this day, 1918, Montreal Canadiens center Joe Malone scores 5 goals in a 9-4 win over Ottawa to become the first 20-goal scorer in NHL history. Also on this day, 1946, the NFL champion Cleveland Rams are given permission to move to L.A. Imagine you're a Cleveland Rams fan, that the Browns never come into existence, and that you, Buckeye boy, are sporting Cleveland Rams gear.
Well, did they move in like the 60s to St. Louis? So I'm not sure.
But the Cleveland Rams, the Rams?
Yeah. That's the same franchise. Or not St. Louis, but to L.A.
Yeah, to L.A., yes.
Didn't they move in like the 50s? Well,
I just
60s?
Said that. I just said 1946 they moved from Cleveland to L.A.
Okay. Well, I mean, if there were no Browns and the Rams moved in 46,
I'm just saying, you're a Cleveland Rams fan. Say they never moved.
Probably.
That the Rams, some other team ends up being in L.A. How weird that would be for you to be a Cleveland Rams fan. It was just more of a hypothetical what if.
It's kind of like...
How funny that'd be. You wouldn't have your beloved Browns.
They'd be my beloved Rams.
Rams.
Same with the Guardians. It's the town in the team. It's the team in the town, not really what they're named.
But it's just Cleveland Browns that's so ingrained. Okay, why am I going down this road?
I have no idea.
More kind of a, hey, wouldn't it be interesting if you're a Rams fan and not a Browns fan?
Okay.
It was just it would be. Wow. Okay. Thanks for not playing along. Thanks a lot. Let's see, 1950, an 11-man NCAA rules committee unanimously approves a resolution to allow football teams to choose between kicking the extra point and trying for a two-point conversion. Also, 1967, refusing to be drafted into the Vietnam War, the United States Draft Board refuses exemption for boxer Muhammad Ali. Also on this day, 1983, the team that became the Avalanche, the artist formerly known as the Quebec Nordiques, they play their 230th NHL game without being shut out. Also on this day, 1988, Pittsburgh Pirates Willie Stargell inducted into Baseball's Hall of Fame. He played 21 seasons in the big leagues and is currently the only player to win the National League MVP, National League Championship Series MVP, and the World Series MVP all in the same season. And one other thing, since we're talking a little baseball there with Willie Stargell, have you seen who the Rockies have put in charge of their pro scouting department?
Yes. Skippy Monfort,
it'd
right?
Be Sterling Monfort, yes.
Close enough.
Starts with an S, yeah. Close enough. Yes, Sterling Monfort, who's 30, has been promoted to Director of Professional Scouting. He was serving as the Assistant Director of Scouting Operations on the amateur side, took over the post on the first of the year. Bill Schmidt saying, Rockies GM, Sterling's very qualified. He's become a very good scout, and he's earned this.
And he's also
horse crap.
Bill, blink twice if you hired him to do this because he's your boss's son.
He started working with the Rockies in 2014 as a scout, promoted to assistant director of scouting in 2018, worked on the amateur side. Now he's charged with supervising the Rockies pro scouting personnel. And according to the Post, his promotions raised a lot of eyebrows within baseball from those who remain perplexed about how the Rockies front office goes about its business. Older brother Walker Monfort, 35, has been the Rockies' VP of corporate partnerships for the past 7 years and is entering his 13th year working in a full-time capacity for the team.
That's fine. Keep him on the business side. I'm all right with that. What does the... Again, it's another Monfort meddling in the on-field aspect to this club. Daddy hasn't done it very well. What makes Skippy think he can do it very good? And haven't the Rockies... amateur team's been, you know, not very good and not very deep since 2015 or so. Wouldn't he have a hand in that? Guys were calling up to, you know, have plus eight ERAs and hit 135. Aren't those guys that Slappy has scouted and drafted?
Now, this is from the Post article. This is an unnamed source. Quote, Sterling has earned a reputation as a diligent hard worker, but I think he's out over his skis, said a longtime veteran of the Major League Baseball scouting industry. I mean, Dick Monfort owns a club so he can promote his son if he wants to, but Sterling's only been doing this for 8 years, and if his dad wasn't the owner, I don't know if he'd be hired in the industry. For me, this is another example of the Rockies only looking inside their own organization. And of course, Sterling Monfort not made available to the media. Once again,
of course not.
This is why the Rockies are where they're at. Because of decisions like this.
They are a distant fourth in functional front office behavior in that town. Distant fourth.
Where's the thing with a lot of people are successful and they have kids and they get in the business? Well, I'm gonna make you really have to earn this.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really earning this. I'm sorry.
He did earn it. Haven't you seen the last name on his birth certificate?
I mean, in terms of work, the hours, the grind, the showing the ability.
Hey, you don't know how hard it is to be born. You know, and Sterling Walker, or Sterling whatever the hell his name is.
This is the stuff you just...
Sterling Monfort.
You go, here's another reason why they're not very good.
Makes me bang my head against the wall.
It's another reason why they're not a very good organization, why they suck.
And they're not going to be very good because Dick Monfort's eye for talent is evidently genetic. And so you got Slappy Monfort there in a very high-ranking position when it comes to evaluating talent. Why?
Yeah, I saw the headline.
Right, let's promote the business guy to be president of the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that headline and I went, of course they made his right. He made his kid the head of pro personnel.
If
of course
Skippy
he did.
Wants to price the beers at Coors, fine. He should not have anything to do with anything that's any other kind of green. Money, or grass. Leave it
or
to
the talent that plays
exactly.
on it.
Leave it to the people that know what they're doing. Don't even let him push the paint cart down to mark the foul lines.
And like, and okay, I don't care that he's 30. He's 30.
There are plenty of young GMs in baseball that are winning.
If he was not Sterling Monfort and had started out very young and had made these big jumps within an organization in terms of his ability to evaluate mm-hmm. talent, okay, fine. He's 30. That's young. I'm not going to work. Ageism works both ways. Thinking people are too old or too young. I'm not going to do that. He doesn't have the resume, though, regardless,
right.
to be in that position.
I care 0% about how old he is, and I agree with you 100% that if he was Sterling Smith, he would not be getting this
Absolutely
job.
Not. No, he would not. No, he wouldn't even get he wouldn't even be hired by a team, probably.
And have you watched enough baseball by the age of 22 to be hired as a scout for anything that's not a little league? He's been he's 30. He's been working for the organization for 8 years in their player development. There are AAA players that are older than him.
Yes.
How does he scout them? And I'm not saying that young people can't scout, but how do you start that young to get the skins on the wall to earn this position? He absolutely has not, other than being born to his
dad. If he was some kind of wonder kid, sure. But typically, to be in charge of pro, mm-hmm. Pro personnel, wouldn't you want a guy in his mid to late 30s at least,
right.
that had been around the block, had been on the amateur side, had spent a lot of time following amateur talent, mm-hmm. and then working at some level in the pro personnel department, and then makes that move and he says 36, 37. Okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, the only thing going in his favor about this is he's not John Boland. That's it. He's not the blood of the city yet.
Yeah. He hasn't been accused of beating up his girlfriend.
Right.
Doing whippets of nitrous oxide.
He's not the blood of the city. But other than that, you hear plenty of young names, tossed about for this scouting opening, this GM opening, this player personnel thing. I'd never once heard his name until it's like, oh, he got promoted to
okay.
what now?
Here's... Oh, jeez. Okay, we got to wrap it up with this quote from Bill Schmidt.
Oh, dear.
This from the Post. Schmidt, of course, is aware that Monfort's promotion will be seen by some as nepotism, but he strongly disagrees
because
with that viewpoint.
Is.
Here's the quote. Get ready. You ready for this?
Yeah.
I've told Dick this for years. I've said, if you sold the club or something, Sterling would get hired in a heartbeat. There are teams out there that hire Sterling as a cross-checker right now. His work ethic is second to none. I was looking for someone to oversee
our
scouting, and I think it was time for Sterling to take that step. He's a good evaluator. I have a lot of trust in him overseeing our pro scouts as we move forward. You also know that Danny Montgomery, the longtime Rockies scout who holds the title of VP, an assistant GM of scouting, he's learned at the feet of Danny Montgomery. Okay, he's been around good people and he's picked up some stuff. If he wasn't Dick Monfort's kid, he wouldn't be put in charge of pro personnel. He wouldn't probably be working for the Rockies. And Bill Schmidt, you can sit there and gloss the boss's kid all you want. He's the boss's kid, and that's why you're saying nice stuff about him.
You know who that sounds like, that quote? Smithers from The Simpsons. It sounds like something Smithers would say to Mr. Burns.
I really think that...
I would hire your son in a heartbeat.
Sterling's a fine young man, Mr. Monfort.
Even if you sold the power plant, I would hire your son to run it. No, you wouldn't.
I would make him the king of the earth.
If Dick Monfort stops short, Bill Schmidt's going to disappear about 7 inches.
Oh.
And from the top of his head to his neck, this team is not going to win anything.
Good grief.
With this.
Good grief.
Setup.
All right, 942.
They are being lapped by a team that doesn't have an owner.
Yes.
In dysfunction.
Yeah, the Broncos are going, yeah, we're doing okay here, I think. I think we're all right.
I think if Joe Ellis has any hard questions What are you doing? What about the Bolin daughters? They were supposed to. Hey, have you heard Dick Monfort got his son promoted to a like fourth in command of the Rockies? Why don't you go ask them questions? They're not made available to the media. Of course, naturally.
Okay, 9:43. And coming up, Trevor Baskin from the CMU men's basketball team. He'll join us next on the Jim Davis Show.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Still time to text in or whine about a Wednesday with Talon Wine, 970-242-1340. Maverick basketball team's back on the hardwood at Brownson Arena this weekend. Friday night, they take on Metro State. Saturday, Colorado Christian. And the Maverick men coming off a 10-point win at Black Hills State, where Trevor Baskin had a career-best 33 points for the Mavericks. He joins us right now, Trevor Baskin, redshirt freshman for the CMU men's basketball team. Trevor, I appreciate it. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Congratulations on the outstanding performance at Spearfish on Sunday. 33 points. You guys played only seven guys. You had the COVID testing, everything that went on. But did not deter you from having a career-best afternoon against Black Hills State. Take us through that wild weekend for your basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, from going to practice, expecting to leave on Friday, to maybe not even playing, and then the game time changed. We were going to play Monday and Sunday. So I think our team really adapted well. Just we were really flexible. We didn't get down or anything when all this controversy hit. And I think it was just a testament to the type of guys we have. We all we're all very confident going into the game, even with only seven guys fully healthy and traveling eight. So we were still very confident. We walked into the game. We expected to win. The end result proved our confidence.
Trevor Baskin with us from the CMU men's basketball team on the Team Sports Network. The last time you played them was at Brownson, and you lost in overtime, and Joel Scott, tremendous player for them, and certainly he still played really well against you guys on Sunday, but it had to feel good to, considering those things working against you, the change dates of the games, Trevor, the COVID testing, only having seven healthy bodies to play, to go into their building and get that win, a 10-point victory, had to be one of the more satisfying wins of the season for this basketball team.
Oh, definitely. Considering we dropped a game here against Black Hills in game, we think we should have won. We knew we didn't put our best effort forward when we played them here. It was a game we really wanted to get back, and it was a really important game just because they were first place in the league. Joel Scott's a phenomenal player, probably the player of the year this year, in all honesty. It just felt really good to avenge the loss earlier in the season.
And right now, you're shorthanded because of Christopher Speller has to take a class. He'll be back with the team next month. Owen Kuntz lost for the season due to an injury. That for Coach DeGeorge, we talked to him this week about that to kind of establish a rotation. It's been a lot easier because he doesn't have a whole lot of players on the bench to work with, so that's become more just kind of plug it in and let it go, and he hasn't had to think about rotations. And guys, you know you're going to get minutes right now on this Maverick basketball team, and so nobody's sitting there going, okay, am I going to get 5 minutes or 10 minutes tonight? Everybody knows, or not even get to play at all, everybody knows they're going to get some time on the floor, and they have to go out and produce when they get that opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with the bad luck with Owen and then Ethan before the season, and then with Fur in his class, and then obviously Isaac with the COVID testing, it was really just we knew that going into these games that we're all going to play a considerable amount, so we had to be smart in the way we played, not foul, and confidence-wise, it just boosted us because we knew, you know, if we messed up, obviously coaches going to play us again, but we're it gives us just time to like mess up and not worry about it.
Trevor Baskin from the CMU men's basketball team joining us on the Team Sports Network, and now you have Metro State, Colorado Christian coming in this weekend to Brownson. Trevor, your worst loss of the season was at Metro State on that Sunday matchup, and And look, this is a good basketball team coming in. You already saw that with the game that you had against them previously over in Denver. But kind of like with Black Hills State, a chance to get some payback against Metro State coming up on Friday.
Yeah, definitely. The game against Metro, we really just fell apart after. We had a really tough game with Christian the night before. It was a really good team as well. But we didn't make shots. We didn't play hard. We didn't box out. I mean, there was just so many things that we didn't do right, and the end results showed. So I think we're really, really excited to try to also get revenge and get another win and help us in the conference standings.
Look, your basketball team's a really good defensive team. They're a really good defensive team. What makes them so tough on the defensive end?
They have really good athletes all around, really, and then they have a really good center, Oki, who's won, I think, like six RMAC Defensive Player of the Weeks this season so far, who's really tall, athletic, long arms, is just able to contest shots, and he limits offensive rebounding opportunities because he rebounds so well. So we really have to work on getting to the glass and then finishing over him without adjusting our shots. So just finishing strong and trying to rebound as best as possible.
Mavs Trevor Baskin with us today on the Team Sports Network. And then Saturday, it's Colorado Christian. It's a team that has been through a bit of a layoff with some games that got suspended, but a team that can certainly score the basketball. Ross Williams, second-leading scorer in the conference behind Joel Scott that we already referenced. Ross Williams, 21.9 points per game. That's a Colorado Christian team that can certainly fill it up from the perimeter.
Yeah, definitely. We know how talented they are scoring the ball. The way they run their offense is just very difficult to prepare for. They're always moving. They're always setting screens. They're always just doing something, which can honestly tire the defense out, and especially since we don't have the amount of depth that we would like, it'll definitely be a big challenge for us, and we're looking forward to it.
All right, Trevor. Hey, congratulations on the career-best 33-point game. Mavericks on the six-game winning streak, looking to extend that against both Metro State and Colorado Christian this weekend over at Brown Center Arena. Appreciate it, Trevor. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too. Trevor Baskin from the CMU men's basketball team. Quick reminder, the Friday night games with Metro will be on the Team CMU Sports Network. Maverick basketball brought to you by Ken Richards, State Farm Insurance. Women's pregame at 5:15. The men will tip it at 7:30. And then the games against Colorado Christian will be on 1100 KNZZ. Same time, 5:15 and 7:30 for those games. All right, let's hop in the dumpster.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, there are plenty of people that hate Nick Saban, but you got to give Saban credit. This was a classy thing that he did after the game on Monday night. His team loses to Georgia. They lose the national championship game, and he had his young freshman quarterback Bryce Young, linebacker Will Anderson Jr. up there after the game. They go to leave the podium, and then Saban calls them back. And he says, these two guys that are sitting up here, they're not defined by one game. And wanted the media to understand that these are two really talented players. This was a rough night for them, but their careers are not going to be defined by that one game. I thought it was a classy thing. A couple of guys will be back, of course, for Nick Saban this upcoming season. Saban gets a lot of heat for a lot of things, Buckeye. That's a classy move on his part, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and he better be right, too. You know, if they go all 4 years of Bryce Young's tenure and don't bring home another CFP trophy, then they might be defined by one night. And that's a risk he's taking. But I agree with you that, you know, it was very nice of him to attack the media on behalf of his players.
I didn't see it as a media.
Because it's Nick Saban. It's all.
I don't see it as a media attack.
Jumps up and down on the media until it serves his purpose.
I thought it was a classy move on his part, to be quite honest. Yeah. And I've been as critical of Saban as anybody. I didn't take it as some kind of passive-aggressive attack. I just didn't take it that way. I thought it was a classy thing. Two young guys, you want to let them know that, look, better days are ahead for you in your college football career. All right, that's our show. Jim Rome's coming up next.